Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the episode number 2 of Fantastic, the blog that we're kind of getting together and hitting the ground running with it. So
pull up that map again,
too. Which map?
That map we had up.
Which one?
I want to say hello to the
Norwegians. Oh, to the Norwegians. Hey, we did. We do have a couple of Norwegian listeners, so we want to say hey to them, and we appreciate you guys listening. And
thank you.
Yeah, definitely listening to our debate about.
I was worried Mike was going to bust out for Swedish chef. I mean, I'm Norwegian, Swedish, and I'll do
it.
Yeah, don't take it personal.
It ran through my mind at least 4 times before you said it.
No, we appreciate you guys. Anybody around the world that's been listening to us, we have a couple of people that have been listening in. We appreciate the debate, listening to the debates. If you guys ever want to call in, please call in and join the conversation, join in on the fun. So today we got actually most of our co-hosts. You know, we got Rich.
I apologize.
My bad. I apologize. Al Camisto is the name. And then we also have another one of our co-hosts by the name of
Mike.
Magic Mike. We today have a couple of things in mind that we kind of wanted to talk about. A couple of the things that we wanted to tackle was some of the new games that are out. And I know, Mike, you've been playing a couple of things that were interesting. So recently, I haven't played anything other than Battlefield 1. I think that's the last game I played. So anything interesting you got that you on the horizon that you were talking about recently?
I did watch or get done with Tomb Raider, the new one that just came out November, I guess, for the PlayStation, or October, maybe.
Tomb Raider?
The new Tomb Raider. It was exclusive with you guys for a year on the Xbox.
It was on the Xbox? Yeah. Okay.
excellent. It's like if Drake and Assassin's Creed had a baby.
Uncharted. I never played Uncharted.
Adam swears by it, and he said that's one of the most cinematic games.
It's like you're playing. You get to play Indiana Jones, but a modern version.
Really?
Yeah.
But I've always been told that the presentation and the cinematics are.
That's what I mean. It's wide sweeping vistas of the Himalayas with snow caps in the distance, and you're creeping along a ledge. Jumping from little ledges and the ledge.
Oh, so that's the Assassin's Creed part of it that you're saying?
Well, Drake is more, it's not quite as Assassin's Creed. You got guns. The Assassin's Creed portion of it is after you're done with the whole thing, you can still go back and jump around to the different parts of the map, and there's still tombs and stuff you can go after, you know? So there's a lot of unlockable stuff. Good game, though.
Okay, that sounds good. I personally haven't played it. I mean, I've been having a hard time trying to catch up to a lot of the games that are out and that I've bought, and even some of the ones that I got for Christmas. So I really have had a hard time catching up with everything. I got Samantha Skyrim, which, honestly, I've never been a big fan of.
It's sort of a game of the year, basically.
I mean, if you ask me, they were the first in-app purchase for video games, which destroyed the video game.
No,
for me.
Are you crazy?
They were the first ones.
No, they weren't.
They really modernized How so?
Skyrim was just like
they
Fallout.
Modernized.
It was just like Fallout.
Yeah.
It had DLC packs. It never had microtransactions.
It had the monthly subscription.
No. That's Elder Scrolls Online.
That's
it's
my point.
Same developer.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking
about.
But
they didn't invent that.
They're not saying they didn't invent it, but they modernized it. They really brought it into mainstream recently. Into the console. I love how when you catch somebody, it's always
what cares about console versus PC, but there were microtransactions
in the PC world.
In Xbox before Elder Scrolls,
which were
other games.
Drawing some blanks, and that's exactly my point.
There was a Dungeons and Dragons role playing game that has microtransactions. Call of Duty games have microtransactions.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about those games that are not a monthly subscription like Elder Scrolls.
But that's a little bit different, though.
Yeah, my point is different, though.
No. A game that has an open subscription because it's so massive and it requires so much, so many servers. I couldn't maintain. That's a different animal altogether.
Well, I don't like those games. So
I don't either.
It's not my cup of tea, but I could see why. The way he's saying it. I mean, what was it? Is it the World of Warcraft? They said it's the size of the, if you took the landmass in the world in the game, it's like the size of Manhattan or something, the island.
Really?
Well, that and the sheer population of whoever's playing it at any given moment, it's a pretty huge population.
I mean,
it's not the type of thing that a few scant servers here and there can handle. It takes a huge infrastructure.
We have to pay $10 more a month for it.
I have a problem.
No, actually,
I have a problem.
Actually,
more.
You don't have to pay anything at all because it doesn't demand a subscription. It's only if you want to pay for the.
That's the newer one we're talking about. Not Elder Scrolls Online. That was a requirement. You needed an online.
No.
You sure about that?
They have since made it free to play, and if you want...
Correction, since, but it was not a sin.
Like the first, I think, the first year it was out, I think there
was...
My
point, though. It was very much...
I don't have a problem with that.
But if you wanted to be an early adopter...
If it's known, when I buy it, if I know it's a subscription-based game, and I buy it at that point...
Well, be honest, though, Mike.
It's not a gotcha.
That's fine.
No. I know that. It wasn't a gotcha.
I wouldn't... I was actually looking at not buying anymore when I remembered... When PlayStation 4 came out, they were talking that it was going to be you had to get the PS Network.
Okay.
To see
it,
save and all.
Well, to play online. To play
and,
online.
And to even play online. It's true now. Actually, if I want to play Call of Duty with somebody, I got to have the subscription to that. I have a problem with that. Fundamentally, I have a problem with them making me do it. But
that's similar.
I don't have a problem if the game I buy says on the back, if I look at the back and I see this game is an online only game.
Well,
I don't like the idea, but it's increasingly becoming a necessity in games because the developers are making
it. It's not a necessity, though. See, the fact that they've got
it's
you believe in it's a necessity.
It depends on the game. Okay, cool. So your choices are play no video games.
No.
But that's where it's going.
Eventually, if it gets to that point, I will quit playing video games.
Titanfall 2 requires online. Mike was saying the delineation for you was whether or not it requires online or whether or not it requires
subscription.
I draw the line forcing me to have a subscription.
Right.
Now, they kind of do, though, because if I had a game that requires me to have an online connection,
mm-hmm.
Would that then in turn mean that I have to have a PlayStation Network subscription
to get online and share games?
Yes.
So that is a forcing me. So I will not buy anything that's going to require
Mike,
me to do that.
Me and you stand on the
stuff.
Same standpoint here.
Oh, yeah. If I'm hearing Mike correctly, he's saying he's not going to play any games online then. Because
exactly.
It requires PlayStation.
I don't have enough people that can consistently, we're working adults. We don't have the time
I'm not going to beg to differ. I do find that at least 20 minutes of my day to hop on the Xbox Live and
But wait a second. How often does both times coincide? We may have the time.
Never.
Well,
that's the thing. I think we got a caller calling in. So let's see who we got joining us today. It's a 516. So let's see. Hey, caller, who's calling in?
What's going on, fellas? It's AJ.
Oh, look who it is.
AJ?
I think it's AJ.
Yep, yes it is, the one and only.
Hey, Dax, what's going on, buddy?
Chilling, man. Just over here listening to some classic vinyls with the parents. You already know.
What are you listening to?
Well, Ronnie and Mike, Snorlax, as many of you know him as, they got like a treasure trove, like a whole box load of vinyls, and they're all just classic artists from like a million years ago that the parents used to listen to. So they're over here going crazy.
So they got some vinyls going?
Yeah, they got a bunch of vinyls going of all these old artists, man. I can name a few, but I'm pretty sure you guys probably wouldn't even know what I'm talking about.
Yep. You, try us.
Yeah, give us a shot.
Jose Luis, Juan Luis Guerra, Willy Colon, Cucu Valoy. Yeah, these names. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would know these guys, but
yeah, I'm sure you know a couple. They're legit all like Dominican artists from like way back. So you know, compare it to us playing the original Mario Brothers. That's my parents right now with music. That's what's going on now.
Well, that's pretty cool. Like, are mom and dad listening?
Yeah, of course. They're going crazy.
Oh, they are.
Hey, how are you?
Tell them
you
said thank you for listening.
We miss you out here.
Yeah.
I miss you guys too, man. I can't. Don't worry, I'll be out there soon enough. I can't. You know, I love Vegas. I can't stay away from there.
Easy, don't take all the credit. That was from mom and dad.
Oh. Well, sorry. They can't hear you, so I stole all the credit.
What was that?
I said they can't hear you right now, so I stole all the credit.
Oh, God damn. All right. Well, anyways, have you been listening into the debate that we were having about Elder Scroll Online and what kind of my beef and gripe with the subscription based games and the model?
Well, I just tuned in because, like I said, I was dealing with the whole nostalgia factor of the parents, but. You guys were debating what the Elder Scrolls Online. What's wrong with Elder Scrolls Online?
It seems to me that Rich doesn't like to understand different viewpoints.
I think
Rich this is the thing. The reality is that the subscription.
Oh, the reality. Let's establish what the reality is by way of David.
Rich realizes it's inevitable and he doesn't mind.
Right.
He doesn't mind the option because it's.
Let me correct that. Right? When I said inevitable, I misunderstood.
No, I don't mean it in the direction. You think that it's just the next evolution of games?
No, not at all. I'm actually with you guys on this idea. I do not like the idea of games being released that require an internet connection. So your games like Destiny, Battleborn. No, I know, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm correcting myself right now. That wasn't what I was. That's when I said inevitable is that a lot of the games are moving towards on internet connection. I don't like that because when the internet's down and you can't connect, then you basically don't have anything to play.
Right.
You know, but unfortunately, that seems to be the wave of the future. That seems to be where a lot of the games are headed with no offline component. And that, I think that's terrible. That to me is a backwards way of trying to
enforce
a digital rights management type of situation that you have to always be on
for
them to give you the checks and balances, and you can only play when their servers are active. That I feel is bogus.
Right.
Now, when I talk about something like a subscription base, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's lots of games for a subscription base that I would like to play. I choose one.
What was that, AJ?
No, mom was asking me something. Sorry, guys. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Let's see. Well, that was a good way to me interrupt Rich.
I'm going to cast my rock into that vote, man. I'm going to go ahead and agree that online gaming, like exclusive online gaming, especially games like Destiny, where there's definitely avenues where you can play the game, you should be able to play the game outside of an online, like, arena. That, to me, is it dumbfounds me because I just don't understand why this – I'll give the credit to Rich. It does seem to be the way that most of these games are heading in, where it's if you're not online, you can't play the game. And I do not like that idea.
Well, this is my beef with Alchemist, though, because when you got gamers like Alchemist, though, who are so willing and understanding to allow that viewpoint to come into fruition, it allows these gaming companies to say, hey, well, guess what? It's not any longer we're jamming it down your throat. It's that the gaming community accepts it, so we're going to do it. So that's my reasoning for saying I have an issue and a gripe for games like Elder Scrolls Online only that you have to pay not only Xbox Live, but you also have to pay that.
You don't have to.
If you listen back to what you just said about 10 minutes ago, you said after a year you didn't have to do that. So they realized, they must have come to the realization.
They retooled the
business model.
Where, a lot of games are doing that now.
Okay, well, that's fine.
There are very few massively
multiplayer. We've already covered this. I have a different
question. Okay, go ahead. Let's
kind of the same branch, but what do you think of some of the games not coming with the storylines anymore?
Exactly my point.
I want all my games to have an independent story so that I feel like, the future of gaming was going to be that you were going to be immersed in this shit and you're going to be making your decisions like you're in a movie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 1,000,000%.
So how often do you guys watch porn for the story?
So are we being? Well,
I can tell you right now, I have never spent 12 hours watching a porn.
There you go. Sorry, Mr. Camisto, they got you there.
There's some type of media that you enjoy because it's eye candy, it's instant gratification, and the games that don't have the campaign are games that are more like a sport. You don't expect baseball or football to have a campaign or a story mode.
You're right.
It's a sport.
But that's
so like
Overwatch. So I was strictly talking about action first and third person shooting games. 100%.
Well,
anything else you can have your role playing games where you can play with that stuff.
Right, more fleshed out campaign.
But I'm talking when I'm going into an action based game, I don't want to have to just go online and fight a bunch of dudes on a map. I want to be able to play a story and actually.
So you guys,
I enjoy the
narrative driven
part of it too.
Story.
The first time through a game, I almost always watch the cutscenes.
Right.
Well, and I think they force you to watch.
Well, some of them they do, but.
I will go ahead and agree with you guys there, man, because let me tell you something right now. Some of my favorite games, my favorite game of all time is The Legend of Zelda, and I can't imagine a game like that without a story. Another game that I was playing today, actually, I actually had the pleasure of playing all three of the ones that have been popularized lately, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4, having to play all of them today, and there's no way in hell I'm just playing those games just to shoot things. I love the story. I love how crazy the amount of times I've had to replay those games just to fully, like...
I play all those games, too, and I appreciate all those games, but I also appreciate the games that are a sport. There's role-playing games. There's I guess you could say, e-sport games. Overwatch...
That's true. Games like Super Smash Brothers, where you pick it up and play, you don't have to worry about a story. But with games, that's the thing about games to me. That you're walking.
But I will say, even fighting games, when you put in, even driving games, when you put a story behind it, it makes it stand out a lot better.
Game,
and no, it
you're
doesn't
more
depend on the game.
Stuff
in
like
Mortal Kombat.
But on your driving your Forzas, those ones where they're driving simulations,
right.
There's not much of a story.
Oh, well, you know what? If
that's
you play Gran Turismo, if you play Gran Turismo on the PlayStation, and you would realize that gaming with the storyline, it makes all the difference in the world. And
your first run through of the game, if you play a campaign, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of nice to have a story.
Not kind of. It is the whole.
For me, it's not the be all and end all. I can appreciate a game that is strictly.
I'm not saying I can't appreciate it, but I don't be all. But I think it should be the main component.
Well,
and
but
then the multiplayer was.
All right, I'm going to have to slam the gavel down here. Boom, boom, boom.
Story matters, right?
Story matters, absolutely. But I'm just saying, with games, you got to know before you buy the game what you're trying to get yourself into. You know what I mean? When you pick up a game like Fallout or BioShock Infinite, you already know that the game's not going to be one of those, you know, strictly eye candy. It's going to be a game that you're going to want to immerse yourself in. So it really, that's why I love the gaming industry. You know what I mean? It's tailored to the player. It's tailored to the player. There's a game for everybody, and there'll always be a game for everybody.
Right, right. That's the obvious. I mean, we're not here to state the obvious. We're just here to debate some of the things that are
I don't feel there's a debate here. There's room for all of them.
I'm just saying
your preferences. You like a campaign.
I don't feel like I need that in every game.
But I do play Skyrim and I do play Fallout.
Well, I just think that gamers like you are bad gamers.
See, here we go.
This is all churn.
Well, this is the reason why I get upset, because there's gamers like you who have driven the market to create.
We're rooting video game dumb.
No, I'm being honest. I'm being genuine. I'm giving you my viewpoint. And it just so happens that you happen to be one of those gamers, but you happen to be
one of those gamers.
Hey, listen. I have Battlefield 1, I have Destiny, I have Skyrim, and I have Fallout 4, and I enjoy all of them.
You fall under that category of those gamers. Because
wait a minute.
I'm
one of those gamers. I like Fallout.
His category is what? Gamer? That's my point. That's what I was trying to say. You know, it all depends on what you're trying to play at the time. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I am in the mood, like Rich said, to just play something where I don't really want to have too much. I don't have too much time to think about something. You know what I mean? Like.
That was a joke of a game.
Joke of a game.
What's the joke of a game? I didn't even catch that.
Four player co-op. You have to work with a team. You can't be alone.
There's no story.
Except it.
Well,
man, if you see a zombie movie,
yeah,
I didn't catch the game you guys were talking about. I'm sorry.
A real zombie story? That's more of a zombie simulation than a game.
Well, call it that. You sell it for $10. You don't sell it for $50. I mean,
who made you the arbiter of value here?
I'm giving you that full value comes with a story. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, so let's think about the story.
The cinematic element.
But not everybody wants to play through an hours long.
Hey, Alchemist, though, can you give me a second to speak my point? My point is that full valued game comes with a cinematic story that needs to be told, and the added bonus is the multiplayer. That's just how I feel, and I think gaming was originally started like that.
But
and now all
really.
New gamers, those gamers, have come into the market and supported all these, subscription-based models and only for the multiplayer. And it lets EA Sports, the worst company in America, by the way, like three times running, get away with things like that. They get away with murder where they don't have any campaigns. There's stories.
Now I will agree with that.
Thank you.
I will agree with that point where, you know, I think that the multiplayer element in these games now is kind of dominating the original point of these games. Games like Call of Duty that used to be more about, you know, the story that they had to tell rather than, you know, and the multiplayer was the extra cheese, as I like to call it. But nowadays, it's like most people are buying Call of Duty, bought Battlefield, you know, for that multiplayer element, and the campaign is like 10 minutes long. It's pretty upsetting.
That's my point to Alchemist, and that's kind of what. I think
we're strictly talking. The problem is we all like different genres of games.
Which is okay.
I only play strictly action shooters.
I don't.
I used to be into racing games, and I used to like golf, and I used to like football.
Yeah,
John Madden. Haven't played any of them.
You
used to love Tiger Woods.
You used to love Tiger Woods. You're going to hit everyone.
No, I'm not. I don't know. There was a lot of mess on that shit. You hit them all. I mean, it was good. You got you. But we're judging his games based on our taste.
Right.
I play all of the genres we're talking about.
Yes.
That's why I feel like
when I say his
games,
I don't mean that he's opposing you.
I don't have a preference. That's the bottom line too. Is that I would not want to give up any one of those genres in lieu of others.
It does blow my mind that there are people these days that will go out and buy Call of Duty and they won't even know that there's a storyline.
Thank you.
That's true. That's the point I was trying to make too. Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. And then the problem is that most shooters now, because this Call of Duty formula has been so successful, it's starting to form like all the new shooters. Sort of, you know, they're trying to. They're sort of taking that Call of Duty formula now, and it's kind of upsetting.
The Mass Effect formula is you know, great, rich storyline. That the Mass Effect storyline is really what I'm more focused on. That's the better element.
Mass Effect, that's another thing, if I can interject. That game, man. Mass Effect 3, probably the worst ending in video game history to me.
I've heard such, but... I've never played it at all myself, so I can't really judge, but I've been aware that it's critically acclaimed.
Dude, I'm not just saying that. My brother, Dave knows, okay, I played through all three of them, like, and I dove headfirst into this game, and I didn't stop playing till I was done with the third one. And the disappointment, like, the heartache, I still feel it. Just talking about it makes me want to go upstairs, get my, like, almost $100 collector's edition of the third one and slam it on the floor into pieces. That's how bad it was, like. But I will say this, though. During, like, it was amazing. You know what I mean? It was that last half hour of the game that pissed me off, but everything in between the beginning to that end, definitely worth it, and I think people should play through that game because it is amazing. Definitely amazing.
Did you play that game that came out, I think it was last year, or maybe the tail end of 15? It was, it took place in, like, Victorian England, and it had werewolves and vampires, and you had, like, automatic weapons, crossbows that were automatic that shot stakes and shit. Did you play that one?
Victorian England? Are you talking about Dishonored?
Oh, I think I played that game.
Was it Dishonored?
What was it?
Was it Dishonored?
No, Dishonored I rented. I remember Dishonored. I actually didn't get a chance to play it.
I didn't really get too into Dishonored either. Was it the one I mentioned earlier? Bioshock. Bioshock Infinite?
Wasn't Bioshock. I never got through Bioshock.
Oh, man. Infinite was amazing. I loved it. Eye candy, yeah. Story wise, a bit of a mind fuck.
While you find that, like, is there any specific game you guys are looking forward to? And that can, I mean, lead into consoles too, because I know that.
Breath of the Wild, 100% all the way.
Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. Oh, yeah, that's another good one. Absolutely.
That one really got me a chubby going on that one.
See, that was a good game with a great storyline.
There's one called Prey that was interesting.
Prey, dude, that just took me back to Xbox 360, launch title.
I know what you're thinking. It's not any type of way. It's not related in any way whatsoever to the original Prey on 360.
It isn't at all? Isn't it the same studio?
I heard an in-depth article on Game Informer about it, and it shares the name only. There's it's completely different. There's nothing.
Let me ask you, Rich, and do you like that?
What's that? It has no connection to the original game?
Yeah.
Well, it's a different game altogether. It's just, it's like, it's.
And my question is, that's a yes or no answer. Do you like that, yes or no?
I don't have
All right there, Mr. Hannity.
Have you seen a trailer?
They're not casting any illusion that it is a related to the original game.
Except for the name.
Well, the word Prey, this is. Game existed, so it can be repurposed.
But Bethesda did buy the rights to Prey, though, didn't they? Didn't they just restructure the whole game because Prey 2 was supposed to come out, and then they canceled it, and now they started working on this one?
Yeah. So now, like, really, there's no owner. I think ownership or connection to the original IP, so it's a completely new thing. So the difference, Dave, to answer your question, is that it's not trying to get by on its connection by name alone. It's not. A reimagining, it's a completely different thing unto itself. It's not trying to say, hey, all you Prey players who like this game, this is exactly the same, or this is a continuing story. It's just, no, this is a different game.
Right, but I've seen some trailers from it, and it does bear that, you know, that Portals interconnection thingy that was, like, huge in the first Prey. So it does have sort of some kind of similarity there. I know they're changing, they completely restructured the game. I do agree there. I saw the videos of it and stuff. But I think they did, you know, I think we're going to be surprised by how close to the original or the first.
Like, Native American connection to the game, like, whatsoever. There's none of the same characters. There's no, it's a completely different thing. And in the article, they say that, like, we're not an extension of that other game. It's an original game. But I know where you're going with this, and it's not an attempt to cash in on the old name. It really isn't.
Why do you say
that? I can hear it even more. I can see your mannerism where you're going with this. You're trying to bring this back to that. Yeah. And it's not the same thing as Star Trek, the new movies, and Star Trek, the old movies. I know that's where you're going. So I'm just nipping in the bud, dude.
Well, this is the thing. My problem with Rich or Alchemisto is that there seems to be just so much bias when it comes to things.
I'm 100%. This is definitely the sequel to the Prey. They completely restructured the game, so it is the same studio.
Well, it's the same studio.
I'm not sure that it is. Is it the same studio?
I would think that there's some type of intellectual property or copyright protection within the name element. There's no way that they're coming out with the name Prey, and then there's coming out with another game called Prey.
No. The game's been in development since like 2000 something.
Well, okay, I'm not backing away from you having read the article. I'm just saying that it's a different viewpoint, probably, right? It's a different viewpoint from somebody else coming out
with the game. There's absolutely no DNA from the original game.
So why call it Prey and not call it something else?
Well, it's because this game. I get what Rich is saying. You're right, Rich. You're right. It doesn't have any of the original game's like DNA. I get you on that. But this game was originally supposed to be the sequel to Prey. It was. It was supposed to be that. But it fell into development hell long ago. And then when Bethesda bought the rights to it, they made this game. And it is really a reimagining of the original. That's really what it is. Of course, they're not going to want to use language like that in an article.
There's no remnant there, though. There's absolutely no remnant.
But says who?
The article, the people who are developing.
What article was this from?
Game Informer's GameStop.
I don't really know.
No, it's an actual interview with the developer.
But the developer should be telling you full of shit.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, the developers sometimes, they're going to want to be careful with the language that they're using for a game that they're releasing that bears the same name as a game they released back in 2006. You know what I mean? They're not going to tell you, hey, it's the same game, just, you know, in a different perspective. They're not going to want to say that in an article.
Well, we'll come back to Prey, and I definitely want to do a little research on it and maybe get close first, and because I really don't know.
We need hard hitting journalism from you guys.
Can we agree? We're excited for this game. Let's just agree to that at least, right? Can we at least agree that we're excited for that game, this Prey?
I'm not as excited as I am
for Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for that too, man. Absolutely.
But in any case, it looked interesting. It looked a lot different than the 2006 or the 2000. Was it 2006 that it came out for Xbox 360?
Yeah, it was around there, man. 2006, 2007, very, very, very long time ago. That's 11 years ago now. 10 years ago? Sheesh.
What else is coming up?
That anybody else got anything that they're excited for, man? Listen, man. I already told you guys, dude. 1-2 Switch. I'm 1-2 Switch all the way.
Well, no, I mean with Prey, I just kind of want to come back to that because
that Horizon Dawn game. When I showed you that,
yeah,
that one's kind of got me going. But that's, I think, a PlayStation.
Any Sonic fans in the house?
One as well.
Which one, Sonic?
Oh God! So let me just kind of fill you in on this one. AJ brought me up to speed with a new Sonic game coming out, and it's totally the old school Sega like classic video game of Sonic.
Sonic Mania.
Sonic Mania is called, and it's like all old school 2D retro gaming. This is the thing. I do like the old classic stuff, but don't make it seem like you're making this big, giant leap.
Well, if it's a 1999 and there's every single
but
Sonic.
But it's not like it's grabbing the old game and just making it look 2D. They're making a whole new game in the 2D style.
Well,
so,
you make it like something more than what it really is. It's a 2D, like, it should cost 99 cents on the App Store. But that's really
what? Why should it cost 99 cents on the App Store?
Because 2D doesn't mean that there's any less production value in it. It doesn't have to be 3D to be a...
It doesn't mean that the market's not there either.
I'm not saying that there isn't. See, you're diminishing what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is that the 2D genre is nice, and there's a place and there's a market for it, but it's in the 99 cent App Store. It's not in the...
Is that right? Have you played... How much is Limbo, David? How much was Limbo when it debuted?
Of people that will buy it just because that was
well,
I played a lot of
stuff. They're where I generalize those gamers, they're the ones that
yeah, but we all fall into that category of those gamers at some point in our life,
yeah, exactly. We all fall into that this mysterious
that
those
gamer.
Gamers category, right?
Here's the parallel, right? When
let me tell you something, I'm buying
PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, the push for fighting games was all 3D. And and getting away from the Street Fighter 2D, the Mortal Kombat 2D, right? Then decades later, it's realized that these games were more robust and better played in the 2D realm. So the games that have come out in more recent years that are Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat are back to the 2D format because it's just a much more, it's just a better presentation overall. The trying to make these games 3D where you're circling each other and
that's
you're,
not gonna work. We just put it
into. It's not that those games were terrible or bad, and there are some very good games that actually did that well, but the it just seems like the fighting genre is a much more sort of linear, and the 2D makes it kind of flow better.
Makes
and
it
I think
smoother. Makes it smooth and flow better. I feel you, man. One game that got me very disappointed in its change is the new Marvel vs. Capcom. Any big fighting game fans in the house here? Marvel vs. Capcom 2? I mean, how far is this new one from that?
I'm not so excited about that. That falls under Capcom Capcom Deck called 3 or is that something? It's Infinite or something, isn't it? Not 3.
Yeah,
right?
it's called Infinite. 3 came out already. 3 was a bit of a letdown in comparison to 2, but Infinite is just infinitely more disappointing. It just looks like it looks like Injustice.
Which I don't have a problem with. I thought Injustice was a great.
That was my question. I was
going to
ask you guys how that was.
I love that.
I love Injustice too. I think it's a great game, but I think these games, it's that formula that, hey, this is what's working right now. So we're going to grab this game, and even though this worked perfectly and this game became huge this way, let's change it to this format. Because this is what's working now. And I get in one hand you want to make the game successful, but at the same time, it's like, hey, this format is working also, so don't alienate the people that made this game famous just because you want to try something else that a completely different like genre of gamers are into right now. You know what I'm saying?
But he just made the argument of old Star Trek versus new Star Trek. He just put it in a fighting game term.
Well,
yeah,
in
the sense of what? What AJ's saying is like don't alienate the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and 3 gamers by making Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite and have it be more of a game that adheres to the rules and the style that is Injustice, which is radically different than the original Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yes.
The same thing, the same logic is what I apply.
My point, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying there, but my point when we have the debate about Star Wars and Star Trek. It always boils down to the fact that it's always a different. Any type of story regarding science fiction that has a fan base. What I'm saying is that those directors have a different spin or a different viewpoint on it, and let them create their own world or their own spin, and it is not meant to be the original.
It's not just about it being exactly like the original. There's nothing wrong with reimagining something. The problem comes in my opinion, the problem comes in when you grab something that's already ready-made, that's got this incredible fan base, and you're basically piggybacking off of this fame that this name, this brand has created, and you're reimagining something and changing it so much that it doesn't even resemble its original, root, man. It's completely changing what it was.
It's called a different viewpoint. Like, as a director, if I
go... Yeah, it's called crap. It's a different viewpoint called crap.
You don't have to go see it, though. You don't have to go see it. My point is that it's a different viewpoint. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It doesn't make it automatically bad because it's not 1920,
It doesn't automatically make it bad, but remember, you're talking about the people that made this thing a thing, right? They should matter too, right?
I'm not saying that they don't matter. What I'm saying is that...
You really are saying that, though. You're saying, hey, it's not 1920, so suck it up.
Real quick, put your listening ears on real quick, and just listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you're a fan of the original, that is fine.
I have to automatically like the new one?
No, I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm saying you can absolutely hate the new version. But what I'm saying is J.J. Abrams doesn't have to go on and read verbatim what what's his name, George Lucas decided to write as the original Star Wars and go, let me retell the same story. He put his own spin on it.
Well, then why did he do that with The Force Awakens? That's exactly what he did with The Force Awakens. He retold A New Hope in his own way. What are you talking about?
And that's my point. That's what I try to tell Rich, that there's nothing wrong with doing that, is what I'm saying.
But when you venture...
It is when you grab that old story and say, hey, this is episode 7 now.
Or are we talking reboot?
Well, we're talking necessarily reboots and sequels.
Yeah, this is a reboot that he's calling a sequel. It's like, no, dude, it's the same thing over again.
All of the canon of whatever you're dealing with.
Well, okay, I get that.
Sequels, you should never, ever cheat by saying that something didn't happen in a previous movie.
Right, that's okay.
It should be a continuity. When it comes to the reshoots, I kind of disagree. I think that if you're going to call something the name of whatever it was that you're calling it, you owe them. You can do your own little spin, but you need to stay faithful to the original story.
I agree with that statement.
Like 3/4 of the DNA of the original source material needs to be present. If you want to offer up something 25% of new material, that's fine. But when you depart so far from the original source material that it is the same thing in name alone, call it something else.
My favorite movie of all time is the thing.
Hold on, real quick. Newsflash to you guys, just to make you guys aware of this.
Oh, here we go.
There is the original source. You guys can happily, listen, as a filmmaker, you guys can happily go. What I'm saying is,
in principle, if you're taking a principle side of it,
I get that.
I think that the thing is a perfect example. The first one was horrifying. My dad had nightmares.
Right.
He made
his
mind one.
Right?
I'm talking the original. The one in the 40s.
So
he walked home in the middle of the street because he didn't want anything being able to sneak up on him.
That's great.
And then he made his mom and dad go into the house and check every room and under the beds 3 times before he would go in the house. So in 1981, the second one comes out, the John Carpenter version. That's like my version of his thing. I came home from that and they said, this is the theater. But what happened was I had read the book, so I knew that the original one was kind of the bullshit one. And that John Carpenter faithfully followed the source material. It was actually more accurate than the first one.
Actually.
Now, when the last one came out, when that prequel, so to speak, came out, I was excited. That was one of the few films based on existing material that I had zero problems with. I came out of that thinking, okay, they faithfully paid homage.
Yeah.
They kept the continuity. The very last scene is just like in Rogue Squadron. The very last scene, they're then taken off to chase the dog, which is what leads you into this Kurt Russell one. Perfect.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's actually a really good example.
It's a great example. What I'm saying is, how well did that do at the box office?
It doesn't matter.
Because at the end of the day, we're talking about success. And also,
we're talking about storytelling.
And
the storytelling.
I'm not
trying to translate. Dollars.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
Fellas, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to go.
Okay, whoa. How dare you start this argument and just go?
I think my work here is done.
We had
thanks for throwing gasoline on the fire there.
Yeah, that's like throwing a match at a gasoline station that's been leaking. Okay, but thank
you.
Wait,
you guys are saying you guys are all flammable? That's nice to know.
Hey, thanks for listening in, though, AJ. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, absolutely, man. Anytime. I'm sorry I couldn't stay longer. It's just, duty calls.
He's telling people to listen in, and we're trying to push this thing and get people involved in some of our
Of course, man. Anywhere I can, I'd love to, let me tell you something right now. This was very fun, and I definitely am, just bursting with anticipation of how many people are going to listen to us just go back and forth with this. It's very fun.
Sounds good. All right, take care. And guess what? When you go, we're going to be talking about the Switch, and I'm going to make sure I make every point as to why I really hate it.
The what?
That's perfect, because guess what? It's going to sell whether you love it or hate it. And, hey, at the end of the day, we're talking about success, right, Dave?
Oh, I like that. That's the way you spin it around. Dang. All right, take care.
1-2 Switch, baby. 1-2 Switch. Take it easy, fellas.
Friends back home are listening. Call in and, fill in for AJ here now that he's gone. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, feel free to call in. The number is 516-453-9495. Anybody wants to call in and join in the debate and has any topic or anything that they want to discuss, please don't be intimidated by Al. He really doesn't have too much stories. You know, Mike has, my friend Mike, is a historian. So, you know, he'll definitely back you with some points. It looks like Al will just back you with some of his old school alternative facts. But, yeah, going forward here, I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit about the Nintendo Switch, only because
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a good point.
We're definitely going to go into overtime, so feel free to continue to listen in because, honestly, I feel like we got a lot on the horizon here on what we want to talk about. So if the co-hosts are willing to stay today, we're willing to go over time for sure. So just to kind of go over that with the Switch, what do you think about it, Rich? I mean, I saw your article. Al put an article up on his Facebook kind of explaining.
It's more of an ongoing complaint that, for me personally, there isn't enough in the launch library to get me wanting to purchase it. So,
yeah, but the launch library is never the main component of purchasing, right?
It is. I mean, I'm not going to buy a new piece of hardware unless I see something truly unique and interesting to me. Now, admittedly, I've been told by my brother and other and AJ and other people that you know, I'm crazy for not wanting to grab it right away. But until I see games that matter to me, it's not going to make me feel compelled to buy it. Now, I'm not saying it's not an interesting piece of hardware, that it might have some success, that it's got a lot of potential, but I need to see the hardware out first. I need to see more about how memory and storage is going to be handled by it. And
yeah,
that's what I feel like is a big if right now, because if what I'm understanding is correct, you know, it's going to be dependent very heavily upon SD cards to make the whole thing run. That's what the games are going to be stored. That's how you're going to, you know, swap out your games. And SD cards right now, it's not that they're too terribly expensive, but when you start, you know, when you think about a PlayStation 4 game and an Xbox One game, and they're running off Blu-ray discs that have a capacity of up to 50 gigabytes, and now you're dealing with, you know, now you have to buy SD cards that can have that same capacity. Yeah, yes, they're out there, and yes, they're not necessarily all that expensive, but it's one thing when you have a hard drive and you fill that chock full of games that you've downloaded or installed or bought. It's another thing to have, you know, these SD cards that you're swapping out with the games. You know, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if it's going to reach a cost prohibitive factor at some point where, you know, you're going to have a whole collection of all these SD cards and how much, you know, what, how big are the games going to be? And
no, I mean, this is one viewpoint I tend to agree with you on. I think the Switch seems interesting in, you know, on paper and everything that they're basically is an upgrade of the Wii U. And they kind of should have just, if you ask me, they should have never released the Wii U. They should have just skipped out with the Switch.
Yeah.
And that's really what they needed to do.
It's actually a closer cousin to the NVIDIA Shield, which has been out for a long while now as an affordable PC streaming game system with its own little screen and a controller, the whole thing is, but it has more in common with that actually, and in fact it has a lot of the same specs and resources like in common.
If you ask me, I mean Nintendo has been doing really well at making sure they hit their target market, the family crowd. If anything, the children, they're most likely again gonna, you know, be successful. It's gonna sell. It's gonna hit the market that they want to hit. But at the end of the day, it's not gonna hit the game market that really wants to address those type of big games that even me and Mike were talking about.
It's not for hardcore games.
If
one of them ended up in my hands, I would probably be like, hey, this is cool. I could handle one of these.
Exactly.
But it would not be enough to stimulate me to then get up and go out and spend my hard-earned money.
The portability makes it very attractive.
Well, now,
games on your go. Definitely.
But
I have to see more of the games I want to play on the go.
With that being said, like, I've bought every single Nintendo console since inception of Nintendo. I bought every single one of them, even the Wii U, the GameCube, every single one of them, I've always bought it. And this will be no different. I will buy the Switch.
But the reason that I have an issue with it is that they do need to bring in some of these Xbox and PlayStation 4 type games that I will be able to take on the go with me and game. I have an issue with like, if you can't play, you know, Mass Effect on the go.
Borderlands.
It just seems to me like Nintendo is so proprietary to their material. They're kind of tending to go the Apple way.
I do have a respect for them, though.
No, I do. I love Nintendo.
Well,
again,
they're making a stand, a little bit of a stand to where they are going to be the only people out there. The reason I like WCW is they were a little bit more family friendly.
Oh, God. Wait a minute.
They were a little bit more family friendly at the time.
WCW sucked.
WWE just got into the Attitude Era, and you could. I felt that if I had a kid, I could let my little boy watch wrestling
WCW?
When I was watching WCW.
But you had to tune into the Attitude Era, revolutionized wrestling.
I understand that. That's not the argument. Same thing with Nintendo. I respect the fact that that's out there, so that if somebody doesn't, there is a market for somebody to go out and buy a game that they're not going to have to worry about turning on the adult mode. Or turning it off.
But you don't have to do that on the Xbox or on the PlayStation 4. You can just simply not buy.
I feel like those are
true. But if I'm a parent, I'm going to have a PS4. My kid's not going to be able to play my games. But I know as a parent, my dad had Playboys and he didn't think I was getting them, but I was fucking.
So
kissing all over the page.
And I will say that yes, I'm more comfortable with my kid for sure gaming on a Nintendo console than I am on an Xbox.
Especially at such a young age. But once you get up to 10, 12, depending on the kid, that's when you let them play the other stuff.
No, but that's also a responsibility element. I mean, I think as a parent, you should know what type of games they are around.
But this is exactly why, though, I'm not as interested in Nintendo products, is because it always seems to appeal to. It's more family oriented. It's more.
It's more PG.
There's nothing wrong with it. That's why I can't get excited for it.
I get that.
It's not going to have enough.
Will you own one? So on the buy, on the yes or no?
No. Until I see something truly unique that makes it stand out.
It's going to be enough for you, Mike.
Yeah, very much.
I think it's going to be a buy for me, but it's more of a gaming standpoint. I mean, I'm a
if they had come out with, you know, here's the direct sequel to Skyrim. And it's exclusive, or here's a new Fallout that's exclusive to the Nintendo.
That's not going
to
happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's what it would take to put me over it.
Okay, that's something exclusive, something new that I can only get on this.
So what about the exclusive element that Nintendo puts out really big time games? I mean, Zelda is a big time game.
How many times are you going to play Zelda? How many times are you going to play Metroid?
From Nintendo's
it's only
perspective, though,
five or six games.
But from Nintendo's perspective, they're not looking at you as a consumer.
Tons and hundreds of thousands of iPads and, and tablets, and even, you know, regular retail stores sell hundreds of thousands of iPads and tablets a day. So imagine if the Switch is going to tap into that market and say, here, we're going to be able to do what you're already doing on these tablets, but only in a much more focused, what you just said, way. So, and I don't want to talk, again, I wasn't even a big advocate for the Switch. I really didn't like anything that it had to offer. I'm going to buy it strictly because I'm a gamer, not really because I believe what it's going to bring to the table.
Now, you're one of those gamers, because you're just buying whatever Nintendo pushes out.
Well, not necessarily.
I would buy whatever Sony pushes out. I plan on getting the Sony virtual reality.
I just don't, I guess,
there's enough exclusives that interest me on Sony for me to have to get it. That's what I'm thinking. But I had to choose Sony and Nintendo.
Microsoft is a big winner for me. I mean, I buy winning products.
Okay, Charlie.
I really like what Xbox did to revolutionize the market when it comes to online gaming. And I stand behind Microsoft and what they brought to the table. And I think I like where they're headed. I like what they do for the gaming community. So that's the reason I support Microsoft, and I don't tend to buy Sony. I'm not saying Sony does a bad job, because I was a big PlayStation fan, but
if I had the money, I'd have everything, and then I could experience it.
I wouldn't buy Sony. I'm just not a fan. The only fanboys are just, they're hard to swallow. But, all right, well, with that being said, we appreciate you, Sony, listening.
We still got one Sony sitting flying over here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Vegas, actually. I know that we only have 4 minutes left, but we're going to go into overtime, and definitely we appreciate anybody who's continuing to listen, because honestly, we probably got like one or two more topics, but still. Thanks for staying, my co-hosts here, Al and Mike. So one of the new things in town that has been a big buzz. I know that you guys aren't big sports fans, but I would like to get your opinion on this. And it's all about the Las Vegas Raiders, or as they currently are named, the Oakland Raiders. So I don't know if you guys have seen that the Alderson family dropped out of funding. Adelson family dropped out of funding the Raiders stadium, mm-hmm. which was $750 million. Governor Sandoval already approved and went through the whole legislation and everything for the public funding, which was another $750 million. And then I think the NFL was going to fund $200 to $300 million. So my point is, bringing a sports franchise brings jobs to the community. As a filmmaker, I love the idea of broadcasting and the idea that you get more people in town to bring more opportunities to Vegas. So what do you guys think about that? Do you guys, I know not being sports fans, you probably don't care about that, but maybe you care about the element of what it does to the community. And maybe there's a point there.
I mean, as a lifelong Las Vegan, I think that I was against it at first. I'm still not too happy with it being the Raiders coming to town.
Right, but I mean, no other team.
As far as
that's
concerned, the closer it's gotten, I kind of like the idea of having a football stadium on the Strip, and I kind of like the idea of that. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's kind of nice.
I'm a huge
kind of
sports
cool.
fan, and to me, just having any sort of team come to Vegas is huge, especially with the, you know, with the sports book and people betting. I'm sure that has some type of, you know, I think that's what's been so taboo about, oh, hey, you don't want betting and sports book and everything. I think what they did was UNLV was off of the books for a year. UNLV was off the books for a year, I think it was, if I remember listening to sports radio, whenever it first started and they were introduced into the NCAA. But the point is, I think at the end of the day, it brings a lot to the community. I mean, I think it brings a lot of, again, I know that we just got a 90-second talk here, but stay tuned to the overtime. We're talking a little bit about the Las Vegas Raiders, sports, games, and movies. So, and I think we're going to talk about a couple of bars. So stay tuned. Continue to listen in. But, yeah, Al, I kind of want to get your point on it, even though you're not a big fan of everything, but you're a film guy. And have you ever, I mean, the NHL team that's coming in, they're going to be bringing in T-Mobile Arena, which is phenomenal. I mean, I personally worked the Billboard Awards right on that arena. So it tells you right there that it brings the opportunity for people like me and you who are big time, you know, we graduated from film school, allows those events and shows to come into Vegas to create jobs for people who are interested in that type of market, even if you're not interested in sports. But I just want to get your view on
well, I mean, if it brings that venues where other events can take place, then that's always a net plus. The sporting element of it, like, I honestly couldn't care less. It's not something I'm into. It's not something I'm going to get excited about.
Have you ever been
about.
To a sporting event?
A few.
A few being what? I mean, we're not talking about rollerblading.
A Bulls game, a Cubs game, a Sox game.
Those are
TNA tapings with
those,
you.
Those are big-time games. Those are big-time sporting events. And a lot of people wish they had gone to those events,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any interest to see the game for the game, but I do enjoy going to a stadium. There's something about
like
it.
I said,
I like looking at people. I like watching the crowd and watching
if it means larger venues or bigger concerts and bigger events, if it means that maybe some of these events that have to be done normally on the outskirts, like for example, like EDC has to take place at that racetrack way out in the desert. Well, these bigger venues now can accommodate something
like
that.
Tuning in. You guys have a good night.
Adios, everybody.